Well, good morning, Fortuna Nazarene Church. Are we awake yet? Yeah? Excellent. My name's Jorgen. I attend Eureka Nazarene, and I'm excited to be here today. We're going to get started with some worship here. I think we had some technical difficulties, so no words. We're going to test you guys, see how well you know these songs. Let's go ahead and stand together. If you don't know the words, that's okay. There's other forms of worship. Let's sing this together. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Won't you open the eyes of my heart? I want to see you. Sing it out. Yeah, I want to see you high. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. And pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Let's sing it together. Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Yeah. Open the eyes of my heart. Oh, I want to see you. Yeah, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Won't you open the eyes of my heart? Oh, I want to see you. Yeah, I want to see you high. To see you high and lifted up. As you're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Let's sing that out. Holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Sing it again. Holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Father, holy, 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 I want to see. Sing it again. See you high. To see you high and lifted up. Sing it out. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Let's sing this out to him one last time. Holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Sing it out.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen.
Amen.
Just for a moment. I have a nice loud voice. You probably hear me without this. But good morning. I'm so glad that I could be here with you this morning. My name is Pastor Nicole. I'm from the Eureka Nazarene Church. I'm the children's pastor there. So my family's come with me and my kids, they're back there. I'm just excited to be here with you today. As a zone, we call it our zone here behind the Redwood Curtain, our church is here. We are with you. We are in ministry with you. We are loving on you. We are serving you in this way, in whatever way we can. So just know that you're loved. Today, I'm going to be preaching on abiding. And the reason why is because when I was asked to preach here in this church, my heart felt heavy for you and just like this deep love for you. And I felt like as a district, we are in this with you, so we are abiding with you. And I truly hope that you feel that through the pastors who have come. As I discuss with them schedules and everything, each and every one of them just shares the deep love that we have for your church. So we are in this with you. So I just wanted to say good morning. That's who I am. I'm just here on mission with you, mission with our church family and our district and God's people as a church. We're here living the Jesus-shaped life, even you kiddos. I'm glad you're here too. You're welcome. I have a verse for you guys. And it's John chapter 15, verse 16. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." God chose you. "He chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit." Fruit that will last. Isn't that a good feeling? Our God is so good. He doesn't just give us the little bit. He gives us a lot. We're the first fruit. "Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Amen? Whatever you ask, it is yours. That is a good feeling. That is a good feeling to be in a place when you need Jesus, all you have to do is ask. So let's just pray real quick, and then we're going to go, we're going to pass the peace. And Fred texted me, he said, "What is pass the peace?" And I said, "That's when we get up and greet people, and that's what we call it in Eureka." So that's what I'm calling it. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this good word, this place of abiding that we can come and be in you, be pruned in the spirit, receive a fruit, a bearing fruit that we can use to do your will, God. And it's a good fruit. It's fruit that will last. So God, I just pray that you just put a blessing on this service. May the Holy Spirit be in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's get up and pass the peace. Say good morning. Shake a hand.
Let's go ahead and stand together. I just want to add, one of the joys of leading worship is the response that I get to see looking out into a congregation. And I got to say, I don't know if it's the acoustics in this room, but that last song, I could barely hear myself. Your guys' vocals was amazing, and it just shows that you guys are here to worship and just sing out to the Lord. And so let's just continue that this morning.
Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. You never change. You never fail, oh God. True are your promises. Yeah, true are your promises. You never change. Oh, you never fail, oh God.
So we raise.
And so we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is and is to come.
Sing it again. So we raise.
Yeah, we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is to come. And wide is your love and grace. Oh, wide is your love and grace. You never change. Oh, you never fail. Oh, God, so we raise. And so we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is to come. Sing it again. So we raise. So we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is to come. You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I walk upon salvation, Spirit alive in me. This this life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you.
Sing it again.
So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. Let's sing this together. So I'll stand. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrender. All I am is yours. Sing it again. So I'll stand. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And now stand my soul, Lord, to you surrender. All I am is yours. Sing it one last time. So I'll stand. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrender. All I am is yours. Let's all sing that one last time together. So I'll stand. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrender. All I am is yours. And all I am is yours. And all I am is yours.
Amen. God is good. Thank you, Jordan. So I just wanted to take us to a little prayer here, and I was reflecting earlier this morning in John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And Jesus paid a huge price for us, and I am so thankful he did. That is something I would struggle with if I had to do that type of thing, or if I had to sacrifice my son for that same thing. So let me just take us into prayer. Father, I just thank you for your mercy. I thank you that you know each and every one of us personally. There's not one of us you don't know. And Father, that you, the God who created this universe, take time out for each and every one of us. Father, I think that's just a marvelous thing. Sometimes it sounds too good to be true. However, it is true. And you sure have proven it to me over and over, even when I turned away from you or wanted to do my own thing. Lord, continue to move our hearts that we just spend time with you. We get to know you more and more. And it's really a distracting world. But Father, your peace transcends all understanding. We thank you for the mercy. We also thank you for the message that Pastor Nicole will bring to us. I also appreciate their families being here. I pray that they're blessed as well. For your mercy, Father, we thank you. And at this point, Pastor Nicole wanted to have the children pop up here before we release them to church to have a prayer with them or a little time with them.
Thank you. All right, kiddos, come on up. Miss Rhonda, come on up. We're going to pray for you before you leave. And Miss Rhonda, will you come over here? And the kids are going to just lay their hands on you because you get to share a special message. And so this is very important. So you guys want to just lay your hands on Miss Rhonda because she's going to share with you. And we're just going to pray for her and pray for you. Yeah. Oh, where? Oh, are they here? Can we pray for them too? Yeah, please, come up. Come on up. Let's lay hands on you too. You are a part of this. Yes, please. Let's do that. Let's just... Okay, we'll pray. Her name... Okay.
Jenny.
Dear God, these beautiful ladies have a big job. They are caring for the most precious sheep of this flock. And so today I would just pray that the Holy Spirit is with them, that you give them words to speak and the wisdom to share, that these little hearts are softened to everything that you have for them today, and that little nugget that they take home today will just blossom into the most beautiful flowers, and just the guidance that you have for them, that they may see Jesus in their identity, and that they will just grab onto that and just live for you today, Lord. And we just pray for each and every one of these children, each and one of these parents who have brought them here today. They have a battle, and they are waging every day to just love on their kids, grandparents who brought their grandchildren, neighbors who brought their neighbor kids. God, we are in a battle, and we fight for our kids, our grandkids, and our friends who are children each and every day, God. So I just pray as they go forth that you just claim them to your kingdom right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you kiddos, we'll see you in a bit. Thank you. Well, I love the way you share together as a church. I was blessed last week when I was here to see Pastor Becca and hear her message. And I was blessed again today. You guys have found a way to fellowship and build relationships right in your service. And I just think that is really cool. Today, as I said, I'm going to be speaking about abiding. And there are three things that I hope that you take from this morning. Is one is when we abide in the vine, we are pruned. And two, we're going to bear good fruit to do what God has called us to do. And three, how do we do that? How do we have that balanced life to work from rest, to be pruned, and then bear the fruit? Those are those three things. So let's start with the word abide. What does abide mean? It's a word I've been sitting with probably for the last 3 years, and I just have been struggling with it. Have you ever been in that moment where you're just struggling with a word? What does this really mean, God? And why do you want me to do this? Why is it so important? And the scripture in John that has done that for me, the scripture that just has really put a heart, my heart is heavy for it, is John chapter 15. And we're going to be there today. So if you want to turn to John chapter 15, 1 through 8, you can just mark it with your hand or a piece of paper. Now, the Apostle John wrote the book of John, and it makes sense to me that he did that because he abided with Jesus, right? He was the disciple that Jesus loved. And in John 13:23, it says, one of them, the disciples whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Can you imagine reclining next to Jesus? Oh, being in his presence. Have you ever been in the presence of someone who gives you rest? I have found that with my dad and my mom. Your parents are probably the people that you feel most comfortable with most often. my husband once I was married, my best friend. I find rest with him. John felt rest with Jesus. Now, disciple John was writing to the Gentiles, and he's using Jesus' miracles to share with them that Jesus was the Messiah then and now. And he's talking in the verses before this, he's talking, Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, I'm not going to be here forever, but I'm going to send someone in my place. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Your life is not easy now, and it's not going to be easy then, so you're going to need my help. Amen? We need a balanced life to do that. We can't just go out and do the work God has called us to do without bearing the fruit. So we have to find that balanced life. So if you could stand with me, we're going to read the word of the Lord. We're going to read in John 15, 1 through 8. It says this, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. I just love the word of God. It is so good and rich and wonderful to live with and be with and just soak in. God, I can't do without my sword. It feeds me. So God, I just thank you for this word, for this nugget that we're going to receive today. Just bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So the word abide. The dictionary defines abide to wait for, to remain stable, or in a fixed state. And the Greek word for abide is meno, which means stay or remain. Now, why would God desire us to wait? Why would he desire us to wait? Why would he need us to be stable or in a fixed state? Now, God has called us to a great commission. I don't know about you, but the great commission sounds like a big job. So why would God say, whoa, I call you this too, but wait. Wait, remain in me. I'm going to ask us to look at that the other way. Let's ask the question a different way. Let's say, how do we continue to hear and do as God tells us without rest? How do we do that? Abiding has to do with having a balanced life. Okay? My dad preached, Pastor Steve preached about a Jesus-shaped life. Well, Jesus rested, right? When he talked about going up with God the Father, he rested, he went up to the mountain, and he prayed. I would like us to take a moment to think of a time, maybe it's a place where you find your most restful state. Maybe it's a place where you pray. Maybe it's a place where you just go to sleep. Maybe it's a place where you find people that you love that you can find rest in. If you're a person that needs to see, you can draw a picture. But if you need to, close your eyes. What do you see in this place? What do you hear in this place? What do you feel in this place? Are you finding joy in this place? Now, I want you to keep thinking of this in the back of your mind as I continue, because we're going to get back to this. So just keep this in the back of your mind. For me, my place where I find I am just so at rest with God is at our cabin. It's a place that's very special to our family. It's been in my husband's family for years. His great-great-grandfather bought this property, and I just happened to marry into it. So I get to go up there. And on this property is a river, And I had a picture, but we don't have technology today. We're going old school, so I'm just going to have to explain it to you. On this river, there are trees on either side, and we can get on paddle boards and just row down this river for quite a ways. And in this space, I can not only feel it, but hear it, and I can see it, and I can feel the warmth of God's beauty on my skin, and I take my teacup, and I set it on the top of the board, and I just row down. The kids are still sleeping up at the cabin. My husband's making some amazing coffee, and I can just be in that place with God. I can sing a worship song at the top of my lungs, and nobody cares because nobody's around. I can pray out loud. Nobody's going to hear me except God and myself because we are here in that place. That is my Sabbath place with God. In Genesis 2:2-3, it says, by the seventh day, God had finished his work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. He rested. Even God rested. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work he was creating and had done. Now on the seventh day, we read here that God rested. Here Adam and Eve rested with their creator. They began their life in rest with their heavenly father. Doesn't that sound good? Now some people call their rest day, their Sabbath day, Sunday. And so here we are on Sunday. We are in rest with God. We are abiding with him. And we're going to call to work from rest because Sunday is the first day of our week. Okay, so here we are. We're resting. And why should we do this? Why should we rest from work? Work from rest, excuse me. Why should we work from our rest? What does this mean? Now, as you're thinking of the moment, you're thinking back of that place where you find rest and you're relaxed and you're in this space. Are you praying? Are you thinking? Is God calling you to do something when you're in this place and of abiding? Is it painful? Does it hurt? There's something more that's happening in abiding in a place of rest with God, our Heavenly Father. He has asked us to rest, but he is working in us. God is pruning. God is pruning those old branches so we can bear the good fruit that he has for us. Now, the Greek word for pruning is kathero. Hope I said that right. Which is also means to cleanse. So maybe God is cleansing you from something. Sometimes our pruning can be really painful. Have you ever been in that place of abiding with God and you feel the pruning? Whew, almost like it's in the depths of your soul, pruning. I've had one of those moments. And I can remember like it was just yesterday because it's one of those core moments that sticks with me. And I think God made it that way because he wanted it to. I was pregnant with my daughter, Katie. Whew. And when you're pregnant, emotions are 10 times what they normally would be, right? So that doesn't help. But God was with me in that moment. I became very sick when I was pregnant with her. I couldn't eat, so I couldn't keep weight on. The doctor said, you know, Nicole, you're going to have to go on leave early. And I thought, what in the world? How is that okay? We had a plan. I'm a plan person. I had a plan. I was going to work this long, and then I had vacation. I was going to get paid this, and this is what we were going to do. And I had a budget, and this is what was going to happen. And then the doctor said, no, that's not your plan anymore. You need to go on leave, and you need your body to rest. So I'm at our cabin, and I happen to be in the cabin that weekend that I'm told this. And our finances are going to be tough, and I know that, and I'm frustrated. And I can feel the weight of the world on me in that moment, because that's what it feels like when you're pregnant. Everything that happens to you just feels so heavy. And I'm sitting in my cabin, and I have my Bible in front of me, and I'm laying on the bed, and I just have this my Bible in front of me because, like, I need my sword. I need the Word of God. I don't even remember what I was reading, but I just opened it up, and I was just pouring into it. I was just reading every word that it was going to give me, and my whole body hurt because I just needed Jesus, and I was reading and reading and reading to the point of my eyes swelling up with tears. I couldn't even see the words on the page anymore, and I laid my head on my Bible, and I just said, God, what do I do? I need to find rest in you. I said, God, I want all of you right now. I want to give you everything that I have. I want to give you my entire soul, my heart, my body, everything that I have, I'm going to give you, and I'm just going to be in this space with you. All of it. And in that moment, God pruned me like never before. Oh, it was heavy. John 15:2 said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear fruit. I was still holding onto the wheel. I was still trying to steer, and God was saying, what are you doing? I have a plan for you. It's better than this. Let go. And in that moment of rest, he said to me, daughter, I am ready to prune you so that you may bear fruit. Let go. Abide in me and find rest. Stop holding on. And I said, God, I am your servant. I will go where you tell me to go. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do. I am here for you. Prune me. Do it. Let's do this. I was ready. And in John 15:4-5, it says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I think that's so important. We can do nothing. We're just the vessel. We're just here. We're his children that are like, okay, God, whatever you want, I will do. Isn't God good? He calls us to work from our rest. Abide in me and then bear fruit. There's a balanced life to it. A balanced life we're called to. And on the screen, I was going to have a picture of a boat, and there's an oar in the middle, and the oar swings back and forth like this. We call it the half circle. And the oar swings back and forth because sometimes we have to swing one way to abide in Christ and rest. We need to be pruned a little bit. And then we swing the other way when we have been and God gives us fruit. And then we're like, let's go. Let's do this. Let's do God's work. The Father who created us desires the best for us. And when God has finished that good work, we swing to the other side, we bear the fruit, and we accomplish what he's called us to do. Have you ever heard the song Breathe? I think it's by John Diaz. It says, just breathe. Let your weary spirit rest. Lay down what's good and find what's best. Just breathe. Come and rest at my feet and be. Just be. Chaos calls, but all you need is to just breathe. Don't you love that? Johnny Diaz gets it. Sometimes we have to abide. We have to be at the feet of Jesus. We have to rest. We have to rest to do his good work. And then when that pruning comes, it can be painful, but usually when there is pruning, it's because the pain that we have needs healing. In James 1:2-5, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete and not lack anything. Any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James tells us that trials bring perseverance and maturity. It's easier said than done. However, God has called us to be abide and pruned, and that is the balanced life. Just as a plant is pruned and bears good fruit at the season and the proper time. And I'm going to try to use a gardening example because I feel like every pastor does when they preach on this, but I got to tell you, I am terrible at growing plants. I am terrible at pruning. So I have this garden in front of my house. You can't even really call it a garden. It's like flowers. It's a bed of flowers that Katie and I planted on Mother's Day. So I just love them. They're beautiful. But when I prune things, I just go and I just hack them down. I mean, to the very bottom. And if you're a gardener, your stomach is churning because you're thinking, what are you doing to those poor flowers? I just go out there and I just hack them down. And my mom gives me a hard time every time I do it. But you know what? They grow back every single year. No problem. They are the most hardiest flower, and it's the only thing I've been able to keep alive, so I just keep doing it. I'm so thankful, though, that God knows how to prune. He doesn't come in and just hack us down. He prunes us in just the right way. He says, be in a place of rest. Feel God urging you into that season. Don't be afraid of it. It's a good place to be, and it's the balanced life. And after you abide and you're pruned, you bear fruit. So in 7 and 8, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So God calls us to rest in him so we can be ready to hear and do what he says. We can produce the fruit that will bring those around to us to see Jesus in our lives. Because we're living that Jesus-shaped life. If this daily balance to your life now, how do we work from rest? A friend of mine says, plan the fun first. I know what you're all thinking. Whoa, wait a minute. I got a family to feed. I got things to do. I got to feed the chickens. I got to go hack the plants down in my front yard. It's not easy. It is not easy to rest. And when I began to understand this importance of rest, it became a journey not only for me, but for my family. Because we see Sunday as our kids' Sabbath day. I work on Sundays, so it's not really my Sabbath day. But my kids, we said, this is your Sabbath day is Sunday. And we try as a family to have a Sabbath on the afternoon after I get home. But Sunday's theirs. And they've had to deal with a lot of other issues for making it their Sabbath. They've had to sit the bench from sports teams because their coach says, well, you weren't here on practice on Sunday, so you're going to sit the bench on Tuesday. But we go to church on Sunday, and that's our kid's Sabbath, so we keep it holy. It takes a sacrifice to rest. The world doesn't understand rest. The enemy wants you to constantly be busy. If you're too busy to be pruned, you're too busy to grow and bear fruit. And I will tell you that right now. It will not happen. It won't. My husband and I have even found a Sabbath. We said, okay, once or twice a week, we're going to go for a walk in the morning. Or we're going to go on a date night. That's our Sabbath. Spending time together. For me, my priority of Sabbath is Wednesday. That's my day. I said, okay, this is my Sabbath day is Wednesday, and I'm going to abide in God on Wednesday. My family knows that's mom's Sabbath. She's not going to work. She's not doing schoolwork. And if there's something with the kids, Ken usually takes them because that's my Sabbath. Now, I'm not saying when life happens, I can't say, well, no, I'm not doing that. It's my Sabbath. Nope, not going there. Obviously, you have to make arrangements, and it can't always be. Sometimes we do have to work things out. But as my Sabbath became more of an importance and I practiced it, my abiding time with God, those circumstances came less and less. So from the stories I've shared today and the scriptures we read, where do you see yourself? Are you working from rest? Are you stitched so thin that you're not growing in your walk, but running in circles? To bear fruit, we need to abide in the Father and be pruned. So let's read that last portion in John 15 that we've not discussed yet. It's the tough one. Verse 16 says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Whew. Jesus is being clear here. If you're going to choose to live this life on your own, you'll fail. You physically, emotionally, and spiritually need to find rest in your Creator. Even God rested. So let's not be the branches that get thrown in the fire. Amen. Let's be in a place of rest. Let's abide in Jesus and bear some fruit so we can go and follow the plan that God has for us. I bet that moment when you let go and you find your place, your rest with God, God will begin a new thing in your life, one that you will not be able to run from. It's going to be one that you want to run to. Now, if you're sitting here today and you're a child of God and you ache for the rest that Jesus, and you feel that pruning, that pull to be pruned, just let go. Let go of what you're holding on to, and you can lay it at the feet of the cross. If you need someone to give you permission, I'm giving you that permission right now. You can rest. Go ahead. Abide in the Father. Just breathe and find that shalom that Jesus freely gives you. What is God calling you to do today? Maybe your heart is heavy because you have never spent time abiding. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus into your heart. Maybe you're sitting here saying, gosh, I feel like I'm missing something. I want the rest. The world just has a lot of busyness and craziness over there, out there, and I don't want that anymore. I just want to find rest. And if you want to just breathe and accept Jesus in your heart today, we can do that. It's super easy. It's just a simple prayer. Just say, I want you, Lord. I want all of you, and I want to give you all that I am. So we're going to pray as Jordan comes up. And I'm going to begin with a prayer that you can say with me. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior, and you'd like to do that today, you can repeat after me. And then we'll pray, and Jordan's going to play gratitude. So you bow your heads with me. Dear Jesus, I want you today. I want all of you. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart and live in me. If you said that prayer today, oh, I'm so happy for you. There are angels in heaven having a party. God, we just pray for the rest of the service today as we're going to be coming to the table soon. Pray for hearts that are cleared. Pray for hearts that just want you more. God, I'm so thankful that we could come and rest together as a body of Christ, the church. Because we got business to do. We got the Great Commission to go do. We got people to share. We got people to love on, share Jesus with, care for them. We have a big job to do. But you said we get to rest first. Rest in you so that we can go out and do all those things. And we've got fruit that'll last. So give us that balanced life. Help us to keep that balanced life. Every day we wake up, just allow us to see where you're calling us. Maybe we wake up and we're ready to do your will, but you said, no, not yet. I need you to abide in me first. Allow me to prune you a little bit because I have a big plan for you. And right now you just need a little more tweaking. Just let me, just a little bit. Find rest in me and breathe, God. Yes, in Jesus' name we pray. Jurgen's going to lead us in the song Gratitude. And I would like to sing this song as a prayer before coming to the table of communion. And if you don't know it, that's okay. Just allow him to sing it and just be in prayer with God. Just be in that moment. Allow him to speak to you about where you are and how willing you are to be in that place.
All my words fall short.
I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? And I can sing these songs as I often do. Every song must stand, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Much, but there's nothing else fit for a king except for hearts singing hallelujah, I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, and I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, there's nothing else fit for a king except for heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
We don't have anything to give when we come to this table. That's why Jesus gave it freely, because he loved us that much. And he said, you're my child. I created you. I'm going to die for you because I have a plan for your life. I want you written on the book. I want you to be in heaven with me one day. So this is why he gives us this gift freely, this gift of salvation. If you are searching, you are a child of God and you want to come partake, we welcome you to the table. And I think we have people that are going to come serve it. So if you want to come and take of the bread and the juice and begin to pass it out. He did all this work. And he gave it all to us so we could be with God forever. He did it all. All we have to do is say yes. That's it. Everybody wants something from us, but Jesus said, I give it all to you. All you have to do is say yes. So we're going to come and remember. We're going to come to the table and receive the bread and the juice in remembrance of him. This is the body of Christ that's been broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ that's been shed for you. In Matthew 26:26-29, it says, while we were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. He was saying, take and eat. This is my body. And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many of the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And we'll just wait for everyone to receive the elements today. This is the body, the bread. If you could repeat after me, the bread that represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for us, broken for me, to preserve us all blameless unto everlasting life. Now, church, eat this bread in remembrance that Christ died for you. This is the blood. This is the fruit of the vine. Repeat after me, representing the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' blood shed for us, shed for me, to preserve us all blameless unto everlasting life. Now, church, drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful in giving him thanks. Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we could come to the table and be in remembrance of you. You sacrificed so much, so all we would have to do is say yes. Open the door. You were there knocking. All we had to do was open the door. So thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, that we could come and live one day with you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you guys please stand with me as we close in song, we're going to finish up gratitude.
Come on, my soul, and don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. And get up and praise the Lord. And come on, my soul, and don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. And get up and praise the Lord.
Sing it again.
So come on, my soul, and don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Oh, get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but there's nothing else fit for a king except for hearts singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let's sing that chorus one last time together.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but there's nothing else fit for a king
except for hearts singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I praise God that we were blessed with Pastor Nicole and Jorgen. I was calling you Jordan earlier. So, what a message. Abide in him. You know, we get so busy with all the things in life, the iPhones and iPads and all these distractions, and God wants us to spend time with him. Not just go doing stuff in the church. He wants us to spend time with him. So, church, go spend time with Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the grace of bringing our brothers and sisters from all these other churches to support us and to help us through our time of need. We thank you for your mercy. We also thank you for your grace and how you share that with us and this body. You care about this body because it's your body. We thank you. We ask blessings upon our congregation as we go out. And let's be Jesus to this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.